The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. I'm in a fine mood today because we are leaving. Eric and I are leaving after the show is done. We're going to Las Vegas. It's not just that we're going to get out of the studio, but although it's nice every now and then just to get out, it's that we're actually going to a really good story. Back when I was doing the TV stuff, I would go out on stories out of town, and people are like, oh, man, you are so fortunate. You get to travel with the Cardinals. What? Oh, my gosh. I am so jealous and so envious. I remember one year we're sitting in Cleveland, and they lost 50-3. So there's just nothing worse than traveling somewhere with a team, and there's a bad story. Like a total waste of jet fuel. Yes, you eat at a nice restaurant, and maybe sometimes you don't. Sometimes you can't even show the highlights of the game that's going on behind you, so you have to stand out in front of an empty building or in front of a building that's full. With no one behind you, it's empty. It's an empty shot. Sometimes the game is going on, and you're standing out in the parking lot with like three drunks saying, this is great. Let me tell you what a great time we're having here. Ridiculous stuff. No, we're going to a really good story. We're actually going to two really good stories. And that is Grand Canyon University going through their first WAC tournament. Dan Marley will be with us here in a few minutes to talk about that. And then, of course, Arizona State just trying to get into the tournament in some people's opinions. Other people's opinions is, they're in. Come on, they beat Xavier. They beat Kansas. Those are two number one seeds. They're going to be in. I don't know this. They play Colorado tomorrow. If ASU wins tomorrow, it's a rematch with U of A in the middle of the day on Thursday. I have told you this before. I will remind you of it again. You are too well to attend work Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of Pac-12 tournament week. If you're watching me right now in your cubicle, or you're listening while you're on your elliptical, or wherever it is, you are too well to do what it is that you're supposed to do for work. And you need to get in your car, you need to call your buds, or go catch a flight, wear your ball cap backwards, don't shave, shower once, maybe, and go to Vegas and watch nothing but basketball the next few days. I'm fired up because I've got two really good stories to go see. Eric, are you fired up for this trip? We've gone on trips before where it's kind of like, we know they're going to lose. Anyways, we're excited to go up there. Columbus Craft Meats is our partner on this. We appreciate their support. And thanks to Columbus Craft Meats, they're our title sponsors. We go to Las Vegas. Without their support, we do not do this. It's how it works through the years, where we are funded through people that say we believe in what you are doing. So we appreciate our sponsors getting on board. Just give me a thumbs up when you think you're good. From there, let's get you caught up on my mind. In the world of sports, brought to you by the good people at Sagicor. Sagicor now, protect what matters most, and that is your family. That is your future. That is the people that you walk out of the door every morning, you say goodbye to, or at night. And are you protected if something were to happen to you? Are they protected? Life insurance, you can get a free quote online at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor Now and their support. So to the end of Dan Marley coming on at 10:20, Kevin Guy is going to be with us at 10:50. The Rattlers season has started. We've wanted to have Kevin on the football show, so we invited him to come in studio. It's not going to be just X and O's around the Arena League. Nothing wrong with that, or the indoor league that they're in. I've done the play-by-play of it. It's fun. It's exciting. I just don't think they get a whole lot of attention. I don't think you really know who Kevin Guy is, so it's going to be one of those deals where I'm going to bring him in studio and visit with him a little bit. The sports news and landscape of the day. The Suns last night did what the Suns were supposed to do. They lost. It was a back-to-back game. They didn't play well. I don't know if you've noticed that teams are liking to punk on the Suns. Monster dunk when the game is winding down last night by Miami. It was one of those deals where the game should have just been dribbled out, but instead they embarrass the Suns and it becomes leading highlights. You know, Devin Booker had 31, so what? Goran Dragic had 17. Miami's going to make the playoffs. Suns are not. Suns were officially eliminated yesterday. For those of you that like to follow your Suns, your heroes of the hardwood, as I like to call them, it just wasn't good. Now, on one hand, their final score. The end result was great. Last night was a great night if you're a Suns fan. They've now lost 18 of 20. We have a story up. If you missed it last week, David Griffin was with us. Griff, of course, was part of the Suns front office, actually was part of the Suns franchise in a big way, when they were relevant, when they went out and they won repeatedly and they were the talk of the town and they were the buzz and people wanted to be associated with the Suns and they weren't just sort of something to do to fill time until you get to Cardinals draft and the NFL season. That's all the Suns have become now. It's just kind of sort of something to do. People will show up to watch a Suns game to watch the opposing team. Very few are there to watch anybody outside of Devin Booker. It's the way it is. You think Josh Jackson has turned the corner? Go look at his line from last night. Dreadful. Well, it was a back-to-back. Excuses. Don't need excuses. So, you know, on one hand, I'm happy that they lost. On the other hand, when people try to create and drum up this, well, there's a great deal of interest in what's going on with them, and they're about to turn the corner. Can't you see the progress being made? Okay, I've been hearing that for a long time. The Coyotes, on the other hand, I did watch them last night. They ended up losing in overtime. They fought back in the third period. I like the grit. Yeah, the record's about the same as the Suns, but it's two organizations going in different directions. The upside for the Suns is they're not playing too many veterans. Like, I don't need to see Tyson Chandler anymore. I really don't need to see Alex Len anymore. I don't need to see Marquise Chris anymore, and he's not a veteran. He's just somebody who doesn't fit here. TJ Warren was terrific last night on the Suns' end. On the Coyotes' end, I just like the fact that they fight and they scrap, and it's not all based around one player showing up and making the emphasis on one guy. This isn't a swipe towards Shane Doan. But for far too many years, all the organization had to hang their hat on was Shane. And this year has been tough. I would like to see Shane Doan at times on the ice. I'm very pleased to see them making progress, bottoming out, and coming back up under Rick Tocchet. The team, to me, when I watch them, is a mirror image of their coach. Yeah, they've gotten their heads kicked in early in the season. They've blown some guys out of here who didn't fit. And so I'm not all that wound up about the end result for them. It's the effort and the intensity that I see out of the hockey team versus the NBA team, which I don't see that much out of, quite frankly, on the NBA side. Hockey team, I see a lot of grit. And I'm embracing them. I like what they're doing. The Diamondbacks today, they are going to face Ohtani. Ohtani is throwing, if you've not heard about the Ohtani craze with the Angels, just try to get into the ballpark today. I don't know. He's going to be on the mound at 1 o'clock. I would say you should get out there the next hour and a half. Again, this goes back to you're too well to attend work today. If you're at work today and you have the ability to blow out of there and go see Ohtani, like I was trying to kick Jordan and Haley out of here today to go see Ohtani, and they've got other projects they're working on. I think you got to go be a part of that. The craze around him. But that is today at Talking Stick. Ohtani is out there. The other bit of news around the Diamondbacks is they are doing something. This is kind of along the cheese ball lines yesterday that we're making fun of the food that they're serving at the ballpark. There's nothing wrong with that. Fans go to the ballpark, and it's a great time. Today, the Diamondbacks release that they have gone back to the old school method of bringing in a pitcher out of the bullpen. They are going to go back to the ball cart. I think we have some pictures. There it is. Yep, that's coming. And it's sponsored. What do you know? Pretty smart. On Track is going to be. On Track is like a delivery system. It's kind of like FedEx. Things along those lines. So they're bringing back the ballpark ball cart to bring in their relief pitchers. I was talking with Jordan earlier that it's too bad they didn't have this idea a few years back when they had nobody in the bullpen and they could have measured the number of miles that cart drove because all it did was go back and forth. Like it wore a permanent path into the grass. And Grant Trenbeth, the head groundskeeper, has been there forever. He's probably going crazy on this. I don't know if they're going to go on the grass, if they're going to go on the dirt on the warning track. The bullpen looks like it's going to be pretty good this year. But they're trying to do all sorts of little things, and this is how the Diamondbacks get ready for the regular season. They go dark, they get quiet, they work on the field stuff, and then when it becomes about 2 to 3 weeks before the season starts, they're just going to barrage you with things every day: food, ballpark, promotions, all that to get you all excited for the games. It's fine, because I think the team's going to be good. I don't think the team is a one-hit wonder. I really don't. That debate has been out there nationally about if the Diamondbacks were just good for one season. Their pitching is too good up front. As much as I want Greinke out of here because of his contract number, I think if you throw Greinke and Robbie Ray in a back-to-back situation, and if it's Patrick Corbin in the third spot or Taijuan Walker, that's a pretty good four. It's not the best four. I get it. And would I feel comfortable with Greinke not here and Ray at the top of the rotation? I would. But I think they're going to be better than this one-hit wonder stuff. I do. All right, Dan Marley's next. GCU head basketball coach. The Lopes are now going to their first ever tournament. Has Dan Marley been in a tournament? He's never coached in one. When was the last time he was in a tournament, so to speak, a one-and-done deal? And was his team feeling the pressure this year, getting ready for this moment? Their first game is Thursday in Vegas. We will be in Vegas starting tomorrow at the South Point Resort and Casino. Thanks to our good buddy Jimmy Vaccaro, Brent Musburger, and all them, the studios there. We'll have a good time in Vegas, brought to you by our friends at Columbus Craft Meats. Back with more after this timeout. And now we turn our attention to Las Vegas. We will be doing the show live in Vegas at the South Point, Jimmy Vaccaro, Brent Musburger's studios, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. All things around Grand Canyon University, of course. We'll be keeping an eye on the ASU and U of A's run as well within the Pac-12 tournament. But GCU opens up Thursday, noon, UMKC. We will be there. We'll also follow the ladies' side as well with GCU. Dan Marley is with us. We wanted to get out of Dan's way because there's going to be all sorts of media all over him about his team. So I appreciate you joining us. Give me a view of where you're at with your team now coming into this tournament and all the buildup to it. How do you feel about your club, Dan?
First of all, thanks for having me, but I'm happy. You know, it says a lot about our program when we're 20-10 and we find it to be a little bit of a disappointing season. You know, we've caught a little bit of a low in the WAC there. We lost three in a row on the road, and then we ended up finishing with three home victories. So clinched the third seed. As you said, we're playing the first game Thursday against UMKC, and our guys are extremely excited about it, as am I, obviously. It's been a long 4 years, and this is what we've worked for. And our guys have done a good job of preparing for it and getting ready for it all year long. And it's finally here, so they're ready to go. I feel great about our team. You know, Josh played well last game. He's been kind of in a season-long slump, but he can really turn it around. And then, of course, Alessandro, who's been terrific all year and has really picked it up for us.
Is there been too much made about this WAC tournament, get there, get to the NCAAs, where it's been weighing on your team at all?
No, I don't think so, because we addressed it before the season started. And, you know, one of the reasons I took this job 4 years ago is because of the expectations. Mm-hmm. If I didn't think there was high expectations, I wouldn't have wanted the job. And President Mueller said all along he wants to be a top 25 team and make it to the tournament the first year. And we all know how incredibly hard that is, but we've put ourselves in a position to do it. We fell short of winning the WAC this year, but I still think that we're one of the better teams, and any team in this league can really get hot and win it. So I don't think that's weighed on our guys, because we've addressed it right away, and that's what we've been playing for, and we're excited it's here.
You also played a game up there earlier this year. Does that help?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we did it. And we scored 100 points, which was big, and I made a joke afterwards. I said, I hope you know what happened in Vegas just doesn't stay in Vegas, and it, unfortunately it did, because we hadn't scored 100 cents. But, yeah, our guys have a sense of what that place is like. We're going to fly out tomorrow after practice, and we'll have a practice on Wednesday at a high school gym, and then we'll have an early morning walkthrough at Orleans Arena on Thursday and then tip it off.
You mentioned the 100 points being scored, and from my view, watching your games on TV or there in the building, scoring has been the biggest challenge for your team this year. Would you agree with that?
Oh, there's no question. We've been really good defensively all year, mm-hmm. ranked in the top 10 in almost all the statistics. You know, number one in the nation in three-point field goal defense percentages, number one in the nation in 3 points allowed per game, which is like right at 4.5. So defense has been really a good key, but we've had struggles scoring. And we talked about Josh a little bit. This is a guy that, you know, averaged 19, 18 points in a game last year and just hasn't been able to find his stroke this year. But fortunately, we've got a really good center in Alessandro, who's a freshman, and other guys have picked it up. And as I said, Josh is a guy who can get hot at any time. So offensively, we've been really challenged this year, but as long as we play defense every night, we have a chance.
Flip it around then, Dan, as you break down this tournament. We're talking with Dan Marley, GCU, on Thursday. We'll be there at the Orleans against UMKC. Break down this tournament from your view. I guess the teams that you look at, I know the stock answer is I can only worry about my own team, Brad. I got that. But if you could handicap a little bit about what the rest of the WAC looks like coming into this tournament, maybe a team that's looking better, maybe a team that's trying to find themselves.
Well, I mean, when you look at it, it's us, it's Utah Valley, it's New Mexico State, and then probably Seattle. As I said, any team can get hot.
Right.
So if we're fortunate enough to win our first game, then we'll play the winner of Utah Valley and Bakersfield. And Utah Valley's playing extremely well. They're second in the WAC this year. We lost to them at their place. We beat them at our place. But they're a team that's full of grad transfers, older guys. So that'll be a huge test if we're able to get to that. And then in the other bracket, New Mexico State is going to play Chicago State, who they'll handle, and then Seattle UTRGV, and then I expect it to be New Mexico State against the Seattle U team that's gotten a lot better again with grad transfers. And if we can get by Utah Valley, I really believe it'll be New Mexico State and us in the championship game. So I would say that realistically there's probably three teams, Utah Valley, us, and New Mexico State. But Seattle's one of those teams that if they get hot, they could probably do it also.
When was the last time you coached in a tournament? Ever?
Last time.
Ever?
Yeah, well,
kids?
Not the tournament.
I mean,
no,
kids?
I was when I coached with the Suns and we lost the – when I was assistant coach, we lost to the Lakers in the conference finals when J.R. – I mean, when Artest made that shot.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's the last time I coached when we were in the Western Conference finals. But, you know, as a player, I played in the NCAA tournament my junior year. So I've been involved in the NCAA a little bit as a player, but obviously this is my first time as a coach.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm just curious from that standpoint is bouncing back from a coach to the players, assuming you take care of business, it's win or go home type of mentality. How do you not, I guess, press too hard with the urgency? Do you have a team that gets it, that it's an urgent situation versus a young group of teams? Do you know what I'm talking about here, Dan? I'm trying to find the right words. Just coaching with the tournament.
Yeah, our guys know that it's urgent, and as I said, we've been preparing for this. Our coaching staff has since for 4 years now, and our guys understand it's a one-and-done situation, and they're just excited to be there. So, yeah, I totally expect there to be some nerves early, some anxiousness. But, you know, in games of this magnitude when I played, I just remember being, you know, really nervous and excited in the locker room. And but once the ball is thrown in the air, it's about baskets again. It's about basketball, and I can remember not thinking about, oh, this is a NBA Game 6 final. It's just I'm playing basketball, and I want to win, and I'm going to compete just like every other game, and I'm sure our guys will be on that same mentality.
See you up there. Thanks for the visit, as always.
All right, Brian, I appreciate it. Yep, thank you.
Take care. This is Dan Marley with us. Dan Marley and GCU, we will be there at the Orleans Arena. Really looking forward to just seeing how they come out and play because they've not been in this spot. Dan hasn't been in this spot. And they have been playing better as of late offensively. That's been the challenge for GCU. And it is advance, survive, get to a chance where if you're playing on Saturday, you're going to March Madness if you win the game. But it all starts on Thursday. And again, we'll be up there thanks to our friends at Columbus Craft Meats and their sponsorship. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. All right, we're going to have Kevin Guy in studio in about 15 minutes, the Rattlers head coach. It's more of a, you need to get to know Kevin Guy a little bit. That's what I'm talking about here, because the Arena League, the Indoor Football League now, you know about that. If you've not been to Arena League or Indoor Football League games, it's part of our landscape, and we cover it all here on sports360az.com. Our football show, Brad Sismat, Football AZ. Tonight, we'll have a segment on the community college fight in Maricopa County. The story is very complex. Complicated, but if you're one of those that doesn't believe in community college football, that's a problem you've got because it's there and it needs to happen. So we'll have Kevin Guy here in a few minutes. Back on the tournament. So, you know, the GCU game, they should beat Kansas City, and you can hear it in Dan's voice that he feels confident in the way that his team is playing. Alessandro was named Freshman of the Year today. So there's some momentum around what Dan is trying to do. But to me, there's got to be that pressure that has come from above because it's been talked about quite a bit. I'm going to have Brian Mueller on the show up in Vegas. The expectation is for this team to get into the NCAA tournament. It just may be here in year number one. They're not quite there yet. The only way that Dan Marley is going to be in March Madness is if they win on Saturday. That's it. They've got to get all the way to the championship game and win it. The WAC is not going to get more than one representative. The Arizona State-Colorado game on Wednesday, Wednesday, it's tomorrow's game. The winner there gets U of A. So ASU is not expected to make much of a run here. Let's be honest. When ASU played U of A in both games this season, It may have been fine and dandy to get you all excited if you're a Sun Devil fan about taking down the U of A, but U of A handled them in both games. Nobody was close to DeAndre Ayton. Nobody. And so with the way that things have finished the season for the Arizona Wildcats, one or two things are going to happen. Either they're going to be collectively closer as a unit, or the individualism is going to kick in. Ayton was named the Freshman of the Year, also named the MVP. The last time that that happened in the league was a guy named Kevin Love. And the last time that happened before Kevin Love was a guy named Sharif Abdul-Rahim. Both those guys, pretty darn good players at the college level, and Kevin Love still getting it done in the NBA side. There's a story with Kevin Love, by the way, today, just kind of on a rant here, that is percolating below the surface. He has come out to the Players' Tribune and talked about his mental health. And it's very controversial. And Kevin Love has been tweeting about it this morning. So I'm interested to read it, but on the surface, it looks like a pretty darn good deep dive. Even David Griffin, who was with us last week, weighed in on his mental health on Kevin Love. It's pretty good. So I'm going to take a look at that. And LeBron James just tweeted as we're talking about that story. So there's some stuff with Kevin Love today. For the ASU Sun Devil fans against Colorado tomorrow, I wouldn't anticipate T-Mobile Arena being covered in maroon and gold. I wouldn't do that. If it was back in December and they played the tournament, sure. But like anything, if you don't win in Phoenix, in Maricopa County, the amount of fans that are going to travel make it sound like it's a big deal. It's not. It's still going to be a red and blue convention. That's what the Pac-12 tournament has turned into. Bobby Hurley, though, has been in the news cycle here. AZ Central did a nice job of getting Michael Crow, the president of ASU, to sit down and to talk about a myriad of topics. And one of them was Bobby Hurley and his emotions towards referees and just in general in games. Michael Crow was quoted as saying, "Bobby Hurley needs to manage his emotions." It's pretty strong for a president of a university, but like any employee, you want to develop your leaders. You want to develop those teachers. Bobby Hurley, teacher. Bobby Hurley has some rough edges around him. Bobby Hurley, as I've pointed out more than a few times, has not coached a whole lot of games. This is not a 10-year vet walking into Arizona State. It doesn't matter if you're coaching basketball or if you're me, an adjunct at ASU. I was a lot better in year two than I was in year number one. And Bobby Hurley's got a lot of resources around him. We've seen it from the outside. I thought in watching their games over the weekend against both Cal and Stanford, in particular the Stanford game, that I saw Bobby Hurley trying to calm himself down, trying to just walk away rather than exacerbate the problem, the issue. Easy for me to say. So it is something to watch up at the tournament. Eric, you and I are going to be there tomorrow. And is the Bobby Hurley story that compelling to see if the referees are going to stay after him? Because they don't do that with Sean, and Sean goes after guys, but Sean's been around, right?
Yeah, but Bobby Hurley already has that reputation, and now he has been fined because we saw the video last week of him storming off the court up at Oregon State. So that is a storyline I'm going to be watching. I'm really, really interested to see how U of A plays this week. Because they,
how do you think they're going to play?
I think they're going to play well.
I do too.
I think because they traditionally play well in this tournament. ASU traditionally does not play
right.
So well.
Right.
But I don't know. Do you think ASU, if they lose to Colorado, is going to be looking at the NIT?
Well, see, the thing with Colorado, okay, so this is a Colorado team that lost at home to USD. This is a team that had to go to double overtime to beat South Dakota State at home. They gave up over 100 points to them.
Not good.
But they swept UCLA. This isn't the best UCLA team.
But they're a tournament team. UCLA is going to make it.
Yeah, we'll see. Their best win was beating U of A at home. They swept ASU and U of A at home. That's their best victories. But there's things that I look at with Colorado, like they shoot just 70% from the free throw line. When you get into these games, and I don't stat people to death, it's just a fact. When you get into March, if you're not a good free throw shooting team, you're not going to win games. So Arizona State, I think, has an advantage there tomorrow. Colorado likes to keep the score in the high 60s to low 70s. it all goes back to what we've said all season long about Arizona State. It's a live by the three, die by the three team, and there's no other way to put it. Anybody who tries to sugarcoat it, although I do think Romello White has made some strides inside, there's a bit of an inside game. But if Arizona State beats Colorado, is that enough of a resume builder if they get drilled by U of A on Thursday? I don't think there's anybody. It's hard to beat the same team twice. It's really hard to beat the same team three times. I don't think there's anybody that believes that Arizona State is going to be favored. We're going to be sitting there at the South Point with Jimmy, and I'll be interested to ask Vaccaro on this one. You know, what's the view of Vegas on ASU and U of A if they get that far? They got to get by Colorado first. I get that.
And another thing, Brad, when it comes to March Madness that people tend to forget, myself included, is you're going to have a couple teams win their conference tournament that aren't expected to win.
Correct.
And it's going to bump out one of the potential bubble teams or at-large teams like ASU. So ASU comes in at 38th right now on KenPom's rankings. So they've slid quite a bit. They were, I think, in the low teens, even higher than that before.
But how do you keep a team out that did beat two teams who are going to be top seeds? I know it's about how you finish the season.
That's it.
I know that, but there are teams that struggle down the stretch, and they don't have on their resume, yeah, we hit a tough spot, but we, I don't know, we beat two teams that are number one. We did beat the LA schools when they rolled through. So I have a hard time believing that it's definitive they're on the outside. Are they tenuously close? Sure. Do they need to win this game and then have a good showing against the U of A? Obviously, you've got to be on people's radar screens. It's like the Big Ten being off this week, Eric. I think it's a bad deal.
Oh, it's a very bad deal.
It's a bad deal. Because this committee, you can sit there and say, look at how great Michigan is playing late in the season. But they're not playing right now. So they're not top of mind. And in Arizona State's case,
I don't know, Brad. ASU's strength of schedule is 69. Their RPI is 59. They're 2-2 against top 25 teams, 3-1 against 26-50
quadrant team. Two.
Quadrant two. Thank you.
Yes, we have. When you guys hear all the stuff on Sunday about quadrants, just know this is the new buzz. It's not like it used to be. It's quadrant one, quadrant two.
But they're 4-6 against quadrant three teams. I don't mean to stat you to death, but this is what you have to look at this time of year. This is championship week. This is when the numbers get crunched.
So the Hurley thing and then how U of A plays are very compelling. And then how Dan's team plays with GCU, that's compelling. Three stories. And I have to believe this on Dan Marley. Dan Marley's name is going to surface for other jobs if they have a deep run. That's just a fact. It's the same thing with Bobby Hurley, except Arizona State stepped out in January and put the foot down and put the kibosh on that. It's the same thing with Sean Miller. If Sean Miller has an early exit, 2 or 3 weeks after Sean Miller is done, I will be very surprised if Sean Miller is still coaching at U of A. I will. It's everything points towards, look, I have nobody here. I've got a great situation. I run the town. Just look at how U of A went underground on this whole deal and then came out on the other side and said, you know, let's bow down to Sean and whatever Sean wants, whatever Sean says, we believe. The time is right for Sean to get out of there. It just is. So all three stories, all three teams have items I look at. DeAndre Ayton, of course I want him in a Suns uniform. Of course I do. When people say, who do you want, Bagley or Ayton? It's not even close. It's not even close for me. I want Ayton. I don't need to debate that one. Ayton is the power once every 10, 15 years guy that comes by. Bagley is a nice player who's going to step outside and do his thing. Do I think that there's a different type of player? Yeah, they're not the same build. They're not the same mold. I think you put Ayton alongside of Devin Booker. I like where TJ Warren is. Everybody else on the Suns roster, and I mean everybody else, even Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson was terrible last night. Look at his line. He wasn't a factor. I would look at and say, you know what? I got a lot of assets here, and I got a lot of young talent. It just didn't work in Phoenix, and I'm going to blow this thing up, and I'm going to go get somebody or a couple guys to come here. They're the vets that are going to do it the right way. I would. And you have Ayton and you have Booker. And I think TJ Warren's a nice player alongside him. That's three guys to get them out of this rut. As much as I make fun of the Suns every day, there's a path to get out of here. They just haven't found it. They keep doing the definition of insanity. Same stuff over and over and over. One other thing before we break for Kevin Guy. Kevin Guy will be here in a couple of minutes. And that is, today is the start of spring football at UCLA. I bring up UCLA, not Arizona State or Arizona. That starts next week. And as one big cigar told me, that Herm Edwards' run of being judged as coach at Arizona State will start when he walks out on spring football first day, number one, which is next week, and the clock will be ticking right then and there. That there's the way the hire went down, all that stuff, the fervor has died down. Next week, ASU starts. And the same thing with Kevin Sumlin when he goes out of there. But although I think there's more of a faith in Kevin Sumlin that hire than there is on Herm Edwards. UCLA starts today with Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly is the one that a lot of Arizona State fans wanted. My understanding, if I'm talking to the right big cigars and the people that had to talk dollars, that Chip Kelly was not really, when you peel back the onion, all that for the people at Arizona State. It doesn't mean they've got it figured out. It doesn't mean they're right, they're wrong. Chip Kelly, though, at UCLA, he is looking for a quarterback. He does things that are rather random. Like when he was at Oregon, he insisted that his players try to get 10 hours of sleep a night. 10 hours of sleep a night for a college kid. How is that even possible? There were GPS trackers on them. He organized protein shakes for them. This is a story in the LA Times about Chip Kelly digging deep on him. That each player had their own individual protein shake. That sounds fine, but it sounds like, am I trying to just foster these kids along? That's what a coach is supposed to do on one hand. The other hand is you got to trust and grow them. All the buzz about Chip Kelly in the Pac-12 South, it's like Arizona State and Arizona shouldn't even field a team. Chip Kelly is here. Oh, my gosh. What is going to happen? We can't play football with Chip Kelly in the conference. It's a name. That's all. And the same thing over at USC. You know, Sam Darnold goes. Can they just plug and play over on that end? Josh Rosen leaves at UCLA. Can they plug and play? So today is the day of Chip Kelly's first day on the field is today. I'm very much looking forward as we go through spring football. All right, on the other side, we'll have Kevin Guy, longtime Arizona Rattler head coach, the coach and general manager, and he will join us in studio. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now let's turn our attention to indoor football, arena football. It's been termed all sorts of things in Arizona through the years, but the facts are the Rattlers are still here, and the Rattlers are still wildly successful. And I would encourage you, if you've not seen the indoor game, that you need to check it out. And those of you that are there week in and week out to support the Rattlers, and head coach Kevin Guy joins us in studio, you know what I'm talking about. They're off to another quick start. They're 1-0. They're at Iowa this weekend. You have a lot of positivity around your sport. So let's just, from your standpoint, what are you seeing so far this year out of your team?
Well, we're hungry. You know, we won the championship last year, and I was worried about complacency, you know, with the guys coming back from last year. And we did have to rebuild our offense, but, you know, the guys are hungry, and, you know, we got off to a good start with a win at home over Sioux Falls, and, you know, we had a bye week right after our first game, and now we're going to Des Moines, Iowa to play the Iowa Barnstormers, and, you know, so we really got the two best teams right out the gate, so we'll find out who we are after this game.
Your journey, you're the fifth time all-time winningest coach in arena indoor football. Mm-hmm. What do you attribute your success to, Kevin?
You know, I'm a grinder. You know, I think things that I do well is I'm pretty good at hiring people. I know the kind of what I'm looking for, and you know, recruiting. You know, you got to be on top of recruiting, and I've always enjoyed recruiting, sales, you know, doing you know that kind of business. So. And you got to have a good ownership, you know. And I tell the players all the time, you know, if you're going to be successful, you got to be able to recruit. You got to have great ownership, and you got to have good assistant coaches around you. And I think we have all that.
You grew up in a football environment down in the South, right?
I did. Grew up in Alabama. Played high school ball down there. Played college football at West Alabama. Got into arena football with one of my assistant coaches from college. Took an offensive coordinator job in the Arena Football League, and. You know, I signed with Minnesota out of out of college, and I don't know if I should be happy about that or punch him in the gut.
Your GM and your coach, you talked about finding talent. How do you find talent for the Arena League in a space that where there is the NFL? How do you find that talent? Where do you find that player?
Well, we go about it two ways. We evaluate all the talent coming out of the NFL camp. So when they release players, you know, we're talking to them and their agents. And then also we go after what's best of what's left over from college football. And, you know, every kid has a story when they come to play for us.
Mm-hmm.
They may be short in some areas. It could be, you know, that they're short in some areas athletically. It could be off the field issues. It could be, you know, anything. You know, when they get with us, it's a business. It's a day-to-day business. It's about production. We explain that to them, and, you know, they buy in. So, you know, we recruit nationwide, and, you know, we try to hit all the NFL camps and then look at, you know, try to have relationships with colleges and agents as well, so we can get the best that we can find out there.
When you are looking for that talent, I'm sure you have people that contact you in all means, all sorts of ways. You have an example of a player that, Brad, this guy came onto our radar through X. And I would say, really? Through X? How did that go about? You have an example?
You know, we have open tryouts, you know, and we'll let anybody come in and try out. And, you know, I look at it as a one-day job interview mm-hmm. for them. Mm-hmm. And they get to come in. And, you know, who gets to do that anywhere in America where you just, you know, where we open the doors and let them come in and try out? And we have found a few players through the years that – you know, that we weren't, you know, on our radar, and we saw him, and we pulled him in. We had a kid a couple years ago, Joe Matthews, who played at New Mexico, and he came over and worked out for us, and he had a great year for us and wound up, you know, making some big plays, even made some highlights on ESPN for their top 10 plays. So, you know, it's just use this league to get these kids some exposure and try to further their career, and, you know, we tell the guys, look, the NFL's already drafted their draft picks. You know, you come here and play. They're looking for guys that can come in and fill those bottom half of the roster and play special teams. And we coach, you know, special teams is very important to us here at Arizona, and we try to help those guys get those opportunities. And, you know, since my staff and I took over in 2008, we've had 46 kids, you know, get opportunities to go play on NFL teams.
That's impressive. You're in the Indoor Football League right now. There's been the Arena Football League team, as I alluded to off the top. You've stuck with it. Why?
You know what? Family reasons. You know, I wanted to be a big part of my kids' life. I've had opportunities to coach college. I've had opportunities to coach in the NFL. I just, you know, for me, I want to be a part of my kids' life growing up. I get my football fix coaching the Rattlers. And, you know, but, you know, we do put in a full day's work, but I'm just not up there at midnight. You know, I'm home by 6:30 every night, and I still got time to go see my kids play games or whatever activities that they're having. And then I got, you know, a relationship you know, with my owner, and you know, I enjoy
Ron
working
Schertz.
For him. Yeah, Ron Schertz
does a great job.
He does an awesome job. He was a game changer when he bought the Rattlers, and you know, just having a relationship with him, he gives us all the resources that we need to be successful. But I've just seen a lot of coaches make mistakes trying to chase jobs, you know, around America, and I got a really good fit here, and it works for me.
I appreciate you coming in and your time.
Yeah, thank you.
It's Kevin Guy with us, and the Rattlers are back home on Sunday, March 18th. You can get tickets and check out the product. It is worth watching for sure. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.